This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, so I saw what ESPN apparently is in some talks with Jason Kelce about being one of the pregame show guys for Monday Night Football. They already have 82 people on that show, don't they?
Seems it.
Holy mackerel. Talk about getting lost in the shuffle.
Did you see Saquon was on their podcast this week trying to talk him into coming back?
He was told no.
Yes, he was.
It's like, the answer is no.
Can't blame a guy for trying.
And the NCAA president, by the way, has called for a ban on prop bets. Good luck. All right, today's show, this half hour, brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. All right, so we're calling for a ban on prop bets? Like, really?
Well, I think it's in reaction to the Jontay Porter on the Raptors.
Who cares?
Well,
you know, it's like after a while, it's like, does anybody listen to him? I mean, seriously. I mean, I know you're the head of the NCAA and you are making a lot of money, but you have to have a voice that people want to listen to. And I don't think anybody listens to him. He talks, and it's like, you might as well be. It'll be interesting to see at the Final Four how he handles the press conference of the Final Four, because all Mark Emmert did was filibuster for 40 minutes, take two questions, and leave. Like, no, it's like, does anybody have the ability to take questions anymore? Like, think on their feet, take questions, have convictions where they have no problem answering. I mean, I'm asking. That's why, like, I don't need the NCAA president to filibuster for 40 minutes. Just ask some answer some questions. It's okay. Think on your feet. And again, I don't know whether he can or he can't. I know really very little about him. And you talk about Jontay Porter. Their prop bets were on Porter were the two biggest winners on prop bets in the NBA on two evenings, I guess.
Yeah, and he
about
left
the number of threes.
It was an under bet on something, and he left the game sick both times to make. Well, I guess the theory is to make sure that the under bets hit.
Okay.
Hey.
Terrific.
And I was reading a story today that they were talking to somebody in the gambling industry that they think that's point shaving and all that kind of old school gambling stuff is a little hard to do with them watching the way it is. It'll be a little easier to rig these prop bets than it is to shave points these days.
Yeah. I will say this. There appears to be, in those who regulate the industry, a level of diligence to it, which I've talked about before. They see anything irregular, it's a story right away because they're looking into it. But the problem that Charlie Baker has is that, like, he says stuff, and that's fine. It's not like he's wrong about what he's saying, but is anybody listening?
No, I kind of think Mark Emmert kind of destroyed that position for anybody to be taken seriously at this point.
You are so correct about that. So correct about that. Like I said, he would get to a press conference, and I talk. You know, it's not. I've never sat in on a Mark Emmert press conference, so I'm not speaking from personal experience. But I know enough people in the industry that I've talked to about it, and they say it's the most frustrating experience because he would get up there and just his opening statement would take about 40 to 45 minutes in length. Then they open it up and they answered two questions and then they was done. Okay. Now, how Charlie Baker handles press conferences, I do not know. But there's so many issues that need to be discussed right now. And the question to me is going to be whether people are listening. What kind of points does he make? Does he provoke thought with his answers? I don't know. That's something I can only guess. But you don't. It's like, well, Mark Emmert did. He'd filibuster, take two questions. Like, what? Come on. There's 1,000 questions here. Answer the questions. Yeah. And some of the questions would be about decisions he made.
Yeah.
Well, he should be an expert on how he made the decision, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe you just didn't want to say flip the coin.
He might have. There's a. You know, by the way, James Brown. Well, CBS going to get the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Sports Emmys. Good for him. Thought about earning it. He's a good basketball player at Harvard. You know, you just watch him. He's a pro's pro. The guy's just, he's not spectacular. He's just really good at it. So good for him. But he'll get that. All right. Yeah, the betting thing is going to be something that everybody's going to take a long, hard look at, especially early on in all this, because I keep going back to England, and it seems like it's so commonplace. Now, they have kiosks set up in their soccer stadiums where you can go. I guess you can go out if you want. And during the game, you can do a prop bet on somebody, right?
I think so.
And I think that's what, for example, down the road, now I don't know if this is in place or not, but I know the NBA had talked about down the road having kiosks in arenas. Well, the Jontay Porter thing may delay that. How about that?
Well, I read last week that when next year on their game pass that they'll have the, you'll be able to bet right in your game pass when you're watching games at home. It'll take you right to DraftKings and somebody else if you want to bet during the game.
Well, yeah, that's not that's just you in your comfort of your living room doing it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, as opposed to doing it at the arena on a kiosk. Now, doesn't mean you can't make a bet on your phone in the arena of the stadium. You obviously can.
Have you ever tried to get the internet in the stadium at Beaver Stadium?
You know what? That came up in yesterday's Playfly meeting about internet in the stadium. And I said, I did point out, I said, my stat monitor is off the encrypted. Now, see, we have an encrypted.
Yeah.
Right? We have an encrypted avenue in. So it's a little different than the stadium. So I'm not taking the open Wi-Fi there, but everybody's kind of laughing because you have 110,000 people in one spot. So it becomes more problematic, and I know they put up more antennas around the stadium, which they did last year to improve the Wi-Fi experience. But again, I said, my stat monitor is on the encrypted site. And so I said, I have no problem getting in or getting it done. Now, other stadiums I've gone to, I've had trouble getting in. And I'm trying to think which one it was. Oh, I know what it was. It was Ford Field. I had a lot of trouble at Ford Field getting in for the stat monitor. And it's not a question of using the stat monitor during the course of the game. I mean, yeah, every once in a while I'll mention, you know, this is the 10th play of the drive coming up because I glance at the stat monitor and it says 9 plays, 62 yards, so I know it's the 10th play of the drive. I mean, that happens sometimes, but it's when you have the sponsored segment at halftime. Hey, by the way, here are the first half stats. You're like, you're trying to fight to get into the Ford Field. I had a tough time with that. Very tough time.
Did you see that the password for the Salt Lake City wireless access for the media last week at the NCAA tournament was Jordan pushed off? So yeah. Still bitter 30 years later.
I mean, it took place at the Delta Center too.
Yeah,
right, which is where it happened. Was in the Delta Center. They were not at Huntsman. They were at the Delta Center. Yeah. Little bitter? Slightly.
A little bit.
A little bitter. The Ohtani thing, we'll talk to Bob Nightingale about this on Friday. But, geez. That's a hard one to read. And part of this is the language barrier. I mean, I know he did a press conference the other day, but it's I can't tell what's going on. Can you?
My feeling is he's either, you know, right now he's telling the truth at this point, because, you know, he puts himself in a bad situation if he's not. But then the other part of it is the I believe her name is Tisha Thompson at ESPN, who's been doing a lot of the story, can't find any evidence that there's a criminal investigation going on into the interpreter. And when she asks the people around Ohtani about it, they no comment at her again. But it doesn't appear he's being investigated at this point by anybody other than for embezzling the $4.5 million that he hasn't gone to any police agencies yet, which is another strange part of it, about it.
The whole thing is really strange. I mean, it's bizarre. Now, they'll play their third game of the season tomorrow when they play the Cardinals in the Cardinals opener. Let's see, what else we got? Games tomorrow. Red Sox, Mariners, Seattle. Brewers, Mets in New York. Angels, Orioles. Orioles, new ownership approved. Braves, Phillies. That's at 3:05. That's in Philadelphia. Tigers, I wonder if Rogers going to that. It's opening day.
I didn't even think of that. I would bet.
Oh, don't say that. You can't use that terminology.
I didn't even realize that.
Tigers, White Sox in Chicago. Twins, Royals. Yankees, Astros. So Matt will be depressed at about 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Pirates, Marlins, Giants, Padres. I might go to the Pirates, Red Sox in a couple of weeks down in Pittsburgh just to go. Actually, I haven't gone to a Red Sox game in person in 5 years. How about that? Didn't think I'd ever go that long between going. You know, it was up at Fenway. Cardinals, Dodgers, Blue Jays, Rays, Nationals, Reds, Cubs, Rangers, Guardians, A's. Boy, seeing the A's back on the field's exciting. And the Rockies and the Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks signed John Montgomery last night.
Yeah, they did. That was a $25 million deal.
Well, I'm surprised it seems weird to say that little, but that he went for that little, that there wasn't more teams in on him.
See, this is where you're going to get a complaint from the Players Association. When you have guys that are taking this long to be signed, they get really antsy about it in the Players Association. Oh, it's this. Look, we are now at the point. Remember, how does the pattern go? Okay? New collective bargaining agreement is signed. Everybody feels great. Players sign big contract, big contract, big contract, big contract. Teams want to spend, want to spend, want to spend. Then the next year after the spending starts to slow down. Then the third year the spending really starts to slow down. That's just the typical pattern of what we see after a collective bargaining agreement is signed. That's just a fact. It's not. I'm telling you, it's collusion. Look, what? I can sit there in my own front office. Yeah. Now me, I'd have signed them.
I think some of it is kind of the uncertainty yet over the local TV money right now, too.
There's a big part, yes.
I think some of these teams don't know, you know, how many years has it been with the rights fees that, you know, people kept saying the bubble was going to burst and it never burst. And I think now these teams are going to have to figure it out now that the bubble has burst.
Well, and that was always guaranteed money. And I'll give you an example. I mean, there's certain teams that you know they were raking in a lot of money off their local TV package. You knew that the Red Sox were, the Yankees were, the Mets were, the Dodgers were. But, for example, the Pirates, yeah. Normally I'm pretty good about knowing what people are getting off their media deals. Man, I miss the Pirates by a mile. I thought they were getting maybe 10 to 15 million a year off their TV deal. They were getting 61 million. Really? 61 million per year? Like, you got to be kidding me. I never realized that.
Where's it going?
They certainly aren't spending it on personnel.
I was just going to say, good heavens.
God almighty. I couldn't believe when I saw it. And another prominent member of the Eagles is just a jumping ship, and that's Jake Rosenberg, longtime capologist for the Eagles, gone. This is where you bring in Matt Cotrillo, capologist extraordinaire.
I think the interesting part about that is he's leaving, but it doesn't appear that he has a job that he's going to right now.
No. And he's been with the team for a dozen years.
Wonder if he's worried how he has a lifetime contract and there's no place to move up.
Yeah, maybe, but don't
well,
you...
Well, not an actual, but...
Yeah, but don't you interview for other jobs while you have a job?
You would think.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're not letting him.
Everybody praises him. I mean, everybody. The Eagles praised him. The agents praise him. And he's called Howie Roseman the best general manager in the NFL. He did say one day he wants to become himself an NFL general manager. But can you blame him? No, of course not. You know, people should have goals like that. You know? The suit's goal was to sit in the corner office and play Minecraft all day. Again, checking all the boxes. No?
I know an 8-year-old whose life goal was that as well, so...
Same thing. All right. Today's show sponsored in part by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Hey, you want to get involved? Name, image, and likeness opportunities, athletes, businesses, visit NILGameChangers.org. to start your journey. This kickoff thing in the NFL. You kick off from the 35-yard line. Okay. But the other 10 are lined up on the other side of the 50 at the 40-yard line. Meanwhile, the return team is lined up across, for the most part, the 35-yard line. And then the two returners are there. If it's a touchback, it comes out to the 35-yard line. If the kick is short of the 20, it comes out to the 40. You're talking about squib kicking, right? Okay.
I from what little I've seen of it, it looks like it'll be at least interesting when it starts. I didn't watch enough of the XFL to see how it works.
I have to freely admit, I saw nothing of the XFL, so I don't know how it works. That's why I have to look it up. I didn't watch the XFL.
I saw some video of it from the XFL when they passed a rule earlier this week. It seems a little odd, but I guess if it's a way to bring the kickoff back or the kickoff return back, I guess it's a good idea. Some of the stuff I was reading on it, they think they're going to have to adjust it a little bit once play starts, but they seem to like it.
Well, it looks like it will promote more returns. I don't know. It's one of those. I'm not sure.
Well, the two line when they line up it's almost like the line of scrimmage. So I think they've right. eliminated them running into each other. It's just another line of scrimmage battle. But hopefully that kind of lessens the injuries and brings the return back, which is what they're aiming for, obviously.
Yeah, because one thing about a touchback, unless you're pulling a hamstring, nobody's getting hurt, right?
No.
I mean, I'm not joking about that.
No.
I don't know. Might as well see what it looks like and then make our judgment halfway through the season next year and see what we think about it.
In-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, let's gear up. Weekend's coming up. Easter weekend, Brewers Outlet, stock up. Family, friends, and in the suits world, acquaintances. What? Maybe running into them, you want to make sure you're fully stocked at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, my two favorites, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. All right, let's get to rules now. The NCAA Rules Committee, of course, has recommended the implementation of player to helmet communication. That's fine. We've advocated that forever. And the mic cuts off with 15 seconds remaining in the play clock. They can watch previous plays on digital tablets. These will all get approved. I mean, they'll form. I think it's, I want to say April 18? That's a Thursday, right? Normally it's like Thursday for the weekend. I think it's April 18th. Well, here's the one next one they're trying to put out there for this. And this one I also agree with. Okay? And that is, right now you have designations. You have head coach, assistant coaches. So those are the 11 that you can have out on the field, no matter what, anytime, anywhere, game, okay, practice, whatever it may be. and they're the ones that can recruit. Then you have GAs. Well, GAs are allowed out on the field. Like Danny O'Brien is a graduate assistant, but he's, you know, he's the quarterback coach, right? But as a GA, he's allowed to be out there. Okay. The proposal strictly will maintain the number of off-campus recruiters to 11, but it gives the head coaches the flexibility to designate the other 10 as the accountable of coaches who recruit. They want the analysts that teams can hire the analysts and give them on-field coaching responsibilities. And Craig Bohl, the former head coach at North Dakota State and the former head coach at Wyoming, is the executive director of the American Football Coaches Association. And he says that the AFCA endorses the proposal, quote, 100%. Said the, this is probably the most common sense approach that we could make. For years, we've had analysts and quality control coaches who have had a desire to coach. Right now, they can. They can observe every practice. They have to do it off the field. In other words, they're on the sideline, can't step onto the field. And then, of course, they can, you know, they can go into meetings and give feedback in meetings to position coaches and so forth, what they're seeing. Bohl says that for years we've had analysts and quality control coaches who have a desire to coach. So much has changed with the landscape with players now being compensated. To be concerned that you're going to have an assistant quarterbacks coach out there coaching is counterproductive. It's been a compliance nightmare. Most FBS programs have upwards of 24 support staff members with various titles such as analyst, recruiting coordinator, quality control coach, and directors of player personnel, player development, and player relations. So the NCAA rules. Those staff members, many of them are former position assistants or head coaches, are not permitted to provide coaching instruction to players within the building, at practice, or during games. That's been the rule, right? And people, right, do what you, you know, you're making sure that you're following that rule. Neil Brown of West Virginia says it's a gray area. So there's a little gray area in some leagues, and some compliance departments look at it differently than others. I think it's really good for the profession. Our job as coaches is to grow and develop those on your staff. They do point out that Hugh Freeze of Auburn said this. He says, look, you can have too many. I don't want 40 coaches. We need more people than ever to try and hold our teams together. We need the bodies to help capture our kids and culture and manage 85. At some point, though, we're limiting their growth. But he doesn't want 40 to do it. I mean, it sounds like more teams would like to have, if possible, a second person helping out at every position group, and then have somebody dedicated completely to special teams. So this is going to be on the table. I would think if they do this, they would limit the number. And when I mean limit the number, like you're allowed to have, I don't know, pick it, 10 analysts. So you already have 10 assistant coaches, 10 analysts. Right? Because you already and I'm talking about analysts that can actually physically go on the field and help coach. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. I mean, you can have 10 analysts now, but they can't physically go on the field and coach. But they can jot down everything they see, and then they can go into the meeting with the position coach or the coordinator or whomever and say, hey, let's, this is what I see, what I don't see. You know, they can do all that. using their coaching eye to do it. And I agree with the proposal. You know, some people, oh, how big's it? Just, you know, okay. There are those that will complain that, well, that's not the way it used to be. Well, there's a lot of things now that's not the way it used to be. You have to be able to adapt. And you have to be realistic about what today is like as opposed to what yesteryear was like.
My question is not really a question. I guess I think this is just one more thing, you know, that the head coach is not really the coach anymore. It's more of a CEO, and you know, he doesn't have enough time. You know, gone are the days where Joe could bounce from position group to position group and do stuff like, you know, and stuff.
But
like
James,
that.
Well, James does.
Does he?
James, Joe, yeah, James goes position group to position group. I'll look over there, and they'll be running something on defense, and boom, he's over there. They'll be running something on offense. Boom, he's over there. Special teams heavily involved in that. Now he goes from position group to position group. Kind of picks and chooses on a particular day. Like, for example, they may be out doing something. Let's pick a drill offensively they're doing. They may be doing shell 7-on-7. How about that? And someday he may go over and watch that, and you know, and someday they're running the 7-on-7 thing, and he's over watching one-on-ones of the offensive line versus the defensive line. He gets or he moves around a lot. So he does not just stick to one thing. I mean, he's the head coach, he's the CEO of it, but he is, you know, he is barking instruction all the time. He is not just there passively watching. I mean, he gets involved. There are times, for example, where the defense is out there and James is running the scout team. I mean, I've seen him do that. I'm really coaching up the scout team. He gets actively involved in it, besides also sitting back and making his own notes. Okay? But he's moving around all over the place. This is more of, I have an assistant coach for, let's take the offensive line. Let's use that group. You have 17 offensive linemen, right? Do you think the guy running the offensive line could use an extra set of eyes physically out there with him?
Yes.
Right? You're the defensive line coach. And you have as many as, I don't know, same thing. You may have as many as 15 defensive linemen. Same story. Right? I mean, could I use an extra set of eyes to help me in that realm? Wide receiver coach. You've got how many wide receivers out there? A dozen? Right? Each one of them, and some are working on one side, some are working on the other side in a formation. Could an extra set of eyes help on each set in terms of helping coach it? Sure. Now, how many quarterback coaches do you need? Right? Realistically. I mean, Penn State right now has four quarterbacks. So you see what I mean? That extra, instead of I'm in charge of all 17 right here or all 15 here, somebody else also helping in the instruction part of it wouldn't hurt, instead of having one person do it. And we're in a different era now. This isn't about, oh, let's, you know, hell, they're bringing in TV money and everything like that, and let's bring in a whole bunch of people, and, you know, and they didn't operate with that many people back in the day and blah, blah. Yeah, you know what? Back in the day, whatever. Okay? Times have changed. And there's 125 people on the staff, 125 players on the team. It's 85 scholarship players and anywhere from 30 to 40 run-ons. mean, that's a lot of people to manage. You know, it's that's a lot of people to manage. And when you see, like, they were running through the titles, well, the titles all make sense in that those would not be people who are the titles they ran down, like the recruiting coordinator, player personnel, things like that. Those aren't coaches. They could be, but those aren't coaches. They're in charge of the recruiting staff, and today you need an entire separate recruiting staff.
You need a front office. They're basically your front office, your GM and scouts and all that stuff.
And I brought that up with Mike Rhodes in basketball. I mean, I said, do you feel like basketball needs a general manager on a staff? And in a lot of ways, you need a general manager today in your football staff. Because, look, you're sitting there as the head coach. Remember we talked about Bill Self yesterday. Okay, now I'm sitting there as a football coach. Hey, well, I've got to take a long, hard look at... I have to take a long, hard look at who's in the transfer portal. What do we need in the transfer portal? Okay, what did we recruit? What didn't we recruit? And that's, you know, and so you talk about the head coach. Well, a head coach. Man, the head coach has 5,000 things on his plate. Okay? That's why you have a staff. So that when it comes time to, like, okay, let's talk about the portal, let's talk about recruiting, let's talk about who's coming in this weekend, things like that. Okay, you guys tell me what's been set up. Where do you need me to be? Do I have to make a trip to talk to somebody? Do I have to make a phone call? Right? It's a contact period. Can I Zoom them? You know what I mean? Like, all these things, right? That they're in charge. And you have to have a staff that does that, because you also have to give the coaches the time to coach. And I have no problem with them elevating analysts to, you know, because you see this in the NFL. The NFL has 53 guys on the roster. Remember Matt Rhule when he left Temple the first time before he became the head coach, was the assistant offensive line coach. He wasn't the offensive line coach. He was the assistant offensive line coach, the second guy. Well, the NFL has all these extra guys and fewer players. And I just think the way everything is now in college football, there's a part of me who would rather have more people looking out for this. Okay, again, and I'm with Hugh Freeze. You don't need 40 of them. But, gee, having one extra person in each position group, I don't think would hurt the cause.
That might be the first time you've ever said that in your life, I bet.
What?
I'm with Hugh Freeze.
No, it's although I did enjoy the Michael Orr movie.
Yes,
where he was his high school coach. That was fun, you know. All right, but yeah, but I agree with him. You don't need 40 of them.
No,
right, but you have a lot of great minds that are in the quality control area. That are in the analyst area, and I would like to see them utilized instead of standing there jotting down notes and then telling the assistant coach or the head coach later. Yeah,
I was going to say, is it somebody's job at a practice to make sure that they don't step one foot out in the field? Because that sounds like it would be somebody's job.
Say that again, Todd.
Is it somebody's job at practice when those analysts are there that, you know, to make sure that they don't step out on the field?
Yes, there is. Yep.
I just knew somebody had that job.
Yeah. No, somebody is always making sure of that. Just so everybody understands, because, you know what, you know, is there a temptation of anybody who's coached young people to go out there and do it? Sure, but there is somebody that's there. And it's their job to say, hey, yo, yeah, stay over here.
So you even need a get back coach in practice.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's a member of the staff. It's a member of the staff, and it's quote her job. Yeah. How about that? Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right. I'm not gonna say who it is, but it's her job to say, "Hey, guys, you know, she literally is counting just to see, like, all the time to make sure where everybody is." And for the most part, yeah, not for the most part, right? To be honest with you, these guys are disciplined. They know. You know what I mean? They're disciplined. They know they're supposed to stay there, and so they stay there. They get it. Because the last thing they want to do is put the program in peril. I mean, so they stay there. That's not, you know... but, you know, she's just a reminder just in case, but, like, to be honest with you, everybody know, you know, they pretty much know where they're supposed to be and why they're supposed to be there. So it's not that taxing a job. How about that? Because you are dealing with pros and adults. And they get it. I'm just saying they should be out there. And I've said this for a long time. They should be out there. Too many smart people in an observation mode making notes when I prefer to see them actually out there physically helping because they're capable of making somebody better. How about that? At least I think they have the capability of doing it. Based on past reputations and where they've been, because a lot of these guys you've heard of. You know they've had success other places. All right. We'll take a break. Half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
I had to laugh. Brad Underwood, the head coach at Illinois, talked about the loss that turned his season around. Guess what game that was?
I'm going to guess it took place in Rec Hall.
Rec Hall. All right. Penn State won 90-89. That turnaround, it kind of sent us in shock. Blah, 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 blah. You know what, Brad? That's a great sentiment, except you haven't beaten Penn State in 2.5 years. You know that? They haven't beaten Penn State in 2.5 years. They've lost 4 straight to Penn State. Let's not pretend it was an aberration.
I think I'm surprised at the success that they've had against Illinois and in Indiana every time you say it.
Hey, because Penn State's not that bad.
Well, I don't think that either.
Penn State has been in the top 43 of the KenPom rankings to end the season in 5 of the last 7 years. And the 2 years they weren't in it, in the top 43, were the first year for a head coach each time.
I think it's something that people forget about just because it's not, you know, what people consider one of their main sports.
I know. And it's like, again, Illinois has not beaten Penn State in 2.5 years. So, guess what? I'm not shocked you lost. Maybe you are. And they beat him at four different arenas.